It's interesting that when I get off, when I come here, I come to the corner of Ripple and Ripple. And I know that you had said some things in your talks that I saw your videos about the power of Ripple and the truth of it. And I wonder whether you could express that again, because it seems a very powerful concept. If it's generated by you and it goes around the world, it has everything to do with what you first said when you sat down about the possibilities of the world getting your message. Well, with the ripple effect, that enhances it to some degree.
You see, this is something right now in quantum theory, they are beginning to mathematically come close to understanding it. Let's say at this moment your heart flowers. Do you know it has set forth a ripple? Physical ripple, that means the energy moves out. Two ripples, huh? Energy moves out and it fills as far as it could fill. The closer you are, the more you fill, the further you go, the thinner it becomes, but it's spreading. And it's exactly like a ripple in a pond. It will hit the edge and it will come back to her. Since the globe is round, it just goes back and come back to you. You become the source. But there is another ripple that's so hard to talk about. That is the ripple of possibility. As you experience it, you have opened the possibility for everybody else to experience it. It is like Dr. Roger Bannister, who broke the 4-minute mile. Until that time, they say no man can run a mile below 4 minutes. He broke it, 3 minutes, 58 seconds or something. What happened? That year, 6 or 7 other people broke. What was broken? The impossibility was broken. When a man becomes enlightened, a man becomes awake, he actually not only sends the ripple of his attainment to the world, but he creates the ripple within you for it to happen to you. Now it becomes possible. If we at all want to do anything for humanity, we live the possibility. As it happens to you, you open the door for it to happen to another. This is a very, very important thing. Like you are sitting right here and you come to an awakening. You see, this awakening is going to move out or vibrate or however you want to call it. And he's going to go and come back and fulfill you. Thus, it will become a complete thing. Not only have you realized, you will live the realization. That is the first level. Like today, let's say you realize, nothing has stopped me. I can be whatever I want. That energy is going to go forth and create that reality for you that you can be anything you want. You pick and choose. But the next thing, the most important thing, as you live it, that possibility is opened in every other human being. It is strange, you know, when they were discovering the pyramid, it seems to be at the same time all over the world pyramids were discovered. It's very strange. Slightly different form, they discovered it same time. Did you know almost every discovery was discovered by 3-4 people at the same time? Only one became popular. There seems to be this collective parallel. That suddenly it's time. You see, you know what we are, the way I look at it? We are the possible makers. It is never a one man's attainment. It is an attainment of all men. We are so entwined if we do not resist it. That is why your life, even though you live it, it is not just about you. It is about the rest of humanity. I like how Krishnamurti used to say it. You are the rest of humanity. You are the rest of mankind, he says. To me, you know, what is a spiritual life? Living that, with that responsibility. You create hate in you, that hate becomes possible in others too. Simple. You create love in you, that becomes possible in another too. And we are entwined. We are entwined. Like right now, there is movement of green, movement of alternate energy. It is bursting everywhere. Can you see? Suddenly everywhere it keeps coming up. It is like this, you know. Have you seen sometimes you catch all of your car number, 2172 or whatever the number is, and everywhere you go, you see the number? This is the strangest thing. Everywhere you go, you see the same damn number. Tomorrow, try to think of the Beatles car, the Beetle, wasn't it? The Volkswagen Beetle. The moment you zoom into that, everywhere you'll see that car. Somehow, there is a synchronicity of consciousness. But right now, it's happening unconsciously. We synchronize with violent, we see everywhere violent. We synchronize with love, we see everywhere we have love. It's up to us. The ripple effect, on a very basic level, suggests this. You sit with me, you have a thought, you have an insight. You are creating the ripple and it's going to come back to you. So watch out what ripple you create. A Zen monk walks on a street, sees a very grouchy man and smiles at him. The grouchy man was still grouchy. Disciple asks, what is the merit? I feel like I want to be smiled at in a few days. So I'm just sending a smile forth. I just feel like I want to be smiled at. So I'm sending one smile forth. Look at that beauty.
Can you talk about patience? Having patience?
Okay. Patience is knowing that the energy has to loop itself. Patient is the intelligence to know as the energy moves, it has to come back to its source. That's all patient is, to understand the loop. To understand the loop. Whatever you send forth, it has to go through a loop. Understanding the loop is patient. It's like, have you gone to the Photoshop to wash pictures? Nowadays they have the electronic thing. As you put it in, you press. You've got to wait 10 minutes or 5 minutes. What is it doing? It's going through the loop. It's going through the process, you know. Gets exposed and then it comes out to your hand. To me, that's all patience is. If not, it is suffering in style. People say, I'm patient. I'm waiting for my love to show. No, you have not sent it. There is another way to suffer in style. See, we are at a beautiful crossroad now. Let me put this out there. We must not forget this moment that you have the capacity to take charge of you and you have to. We keep forgetting that. We have taken refuge in life being bigger than us. We have to break that completely. But we must not forget this moment. I can participate in my life by the sheer ability to create ripples. That I can create ripples. If I show kindness to you, it is just because I want to experience kindness in a few days' time. Thus, the old saying, do unto others what you like to be done unto yourself. It is no more a moralistic thing, it is a science. If I look at you and I believe you would live, that belief will find me too. If I do not give up hope on you, hope will not give up on me. Thus, the other is nothing but a mirror of me. Or, an opportunity to experience me. Like in the East, there is a tradition. If you come to a master and you say, "Master, I want to learn meditation," the master sends you out 3 years to roam the street all over India. And he has to just keep looking at everything and say, "Shiva, Shiva, Shiva." If he meets you, he must say, "Shakti." Woman is Shakti, man is Shiva. He must look at you until he can feel the Shiva in you. For 3 years, he roams. He must see everybody as that. Only then it will see him that way too. Such a beautiful technique. If you can't see that in another, that will not see you as it. Interesting, isn't it?
With something as important as what you just said, and that you are the embodiment of it, why is it that we don't teach children that? We teach them how to go to the bathroom, what to eat, we teach them their ABCs, we try to get little things that make numbers so they can learn early. Why would that, to give out what you intend to receive is a fundamental lesson on how to live your life. Why would we not teach that? It would be the end of depression.
Because we only have the memory of loss. We only have carried the memory of loss. We have not carried the memory of receiving. Our psyche is made out of what we have lost. I have lost my hair. I have lost my grandpa. I have lost my wealth. I have lost. We are a lost conscious people, what we have lost. I lost my childhood. We are not a consciousness of gain. So when a parent comes in with what is lost, he's only going to teach the child not to lose. So he teaches him defense, onslaught. We don't send our children out to say, "My God, look what they're going to experience. Wow, the love." We're going to prepare them not to get hurt, not to get poor, not to get eaten by the tiger, not. That's what we create, and we create knots inside of them. It's a beautiful question. Why we don't teach this to our kids? We don't even know it. We have the loss. If somebody drives up to West Van from wherever they are, they will say what they don't have is what they see. Like if I come to, when I'm in Vancouver, if I have that mind, I only will see what I don't have in my country. Or in my country, the trees, leaves don't fall. Or there is no weather change. You only see the knot. It's a beautiful story to go with what you just said. There was a Sufi master that was very, very famous. So the master wanted to present him something, and he knows he likes to make clothes. So he presented him a scissors studded with diamonds and emeralds. And as the Sufi master got it, he said, "Take it back. I don't want this." So the king said, "Why not? What did I do wrong?" He said, "Send me a needle. I would take it with great love." So the king asked, "Why?" He said, "In my life, I don't want to cut things away. I want to stitch them together." We have lost that capacity. Live how we raise our children. This is one continent. We got a line that says America, Canada, Alaska, Mexico. And then within that country, we put more lines. British Columbia, Alberta. Within that, we put another line. North Van, West Van, East Van, Up Van, Down Van. Can you watch that? This is our mind. The unconscious is that which is beyond your control, so you cannot control it. Your unconscious is that which is beyond your choice. So all you can do with the unconscious is to wake your consciousness up to it. You cannot control your unconscious. You see, there was a great experiment of self-programming. I'm sure a lot of you have gone through, you know, mind control and subconscious training. Have you seen? They kept saying a word to affirm. They're trying to get into the unconscious. They're trying to reprogram the unconscious, even though it had a bit of success. But its success was not that monument. It made some adjustment, but it did not do the major adjustment. People were not awakened by it. You have seen a lot of the subliminal training where people put words into their mind. Did it do a breakthrough awakening in people? Not really. Give them good haircuts. Give them a good haircut. It had some value. It has an ability to change certain unconscious habits. Then we went into hypnosis. People can hypnotize and go into your unconscious and started changing. That had even more result. But whatever it's done, you still come back unconscious. And remaining unconscious is to remain in prison. You follow? To me, as a clinical method, it can be used. I had one kid was brought to me. At that time, I was learning hypnosis. So the kid had trouble with mathematics. So I put him under hypnosis and kind of rearranged it a little bit. And he started doing very well in mathematics. No big deal. It's wonderful. Everybody's happy. But as he become awake, no. It's still an unconscious mechanism controlling it. My effort is to wake you to be completely conscious of you, because that complete consciousness is needing for you to realize you. See my approach. Do it if you need to change something like dieting or some certain things that is hurting you. Hypnosis is some of the best method. Go into your unconscious and fix it. It's a quick fix. Like somebody has been raped. Hypnosis is amazingly helpful to heal them. It's almost having a surgery with anesthetic. But the point of being blissed out, the point of being a master in life, is to be awakened, to be completely conscious. That nothing happens within you without your permission first. No thoughts move beyond you. No emotion happens beyond you. No experience is beyond you. If you dedicate to come to that state, for the first time you have personal mastery over you. Then your life falls according to you. For that, what must cease? Proving must cease. Defending must cease. Resistance must be brought to check. The next time you're having conversation with somebody, bring these three things in and watch. What is he trying to prove? What is he defending? What is he resisting? Try to see. You see, love is not resistant. Love is something else. Have you seen that very word encompasses everything? Love. Love seems to be like a wave that leaves you and envelops everybody. Your love will envelop the very earth. That's why they say it's the most powerful thing, because it is the finest in self-mastery. Love is the finest. Like now Joseph Chilton Pierce discovered that our heart has got brain cells in it. And he also discovered there is thoracic that comes out. I'm sure he's going to discover even more, that this thoracic can extend the whole world. You see, when you're conscious, when you come into order, your heart will extend so much. As far as I'm concerned, nothing becomes beyond you. Then your very love is your very life. Your very life is your very will. Only then peace would be real. Until then, there is no peace behind pieces. There's just some time when the whole countries get together and talk about peace. It's pieces trying to talk about peace. By right, the pieces must come together and forget the division of pieces. You understand? The developed nation seems to be the bigger piece. The undeveloped nation seems to be the lesser piece. Now, what is the four discipline? The first two is what I've been discussing, and much more. You learn the ability to be in that state. By the time you finish your second discipline and you can master it, you will attain to Zazen. You'll be able to sit silently, to be, to allow natural, spontaneous growth, unhindered, if you understand it. Now for a few minutes, if you can try the master's breath, and if you have questions, we'll go into that.